Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Wednesday on this 13th day of March 2019. And I am so thrilled to have back as a returning guest today one of my favorite guests, Justin Peters. He is an evangelist, a conference speaker, and founder of Justin Peters Ministries. We are going to be addressing the theme Sanctification Through Suffering, One Christian's Refusal to be Deterred or Defeated by Cerebral Palsy. And we're also going to be announcing the upcoming conference on the theme of Sanctification Through Suffering. It's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Justin Peters.
Hey, Chris. It's an honor to be back with you, brother. I always enjoy our time together, and appreciate you having me back on.
Oh, it's my pleasure, and your commendation for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is one of my most prized possessions. And I thank you for writing that for us probably a year or so ago. And I'm just thrilled to and honored to have that featured on our website. And
oh, absolutely. Well, I meant every word of it.
Well, I appreciate it, brother. First of all, let's hear something about Justin Peters Ministries for our listeners, especially that are discovering you for the first time.
Okay. All right, Chris. Yes, I am a full-time evangelist. A lot of people think I'm a pastor. I'm not. I have a pastor, but I am not a pastor. I'm an evangelist, an itinerant preacher, and my first love is expositional preaching, preaching God's Word verse by verse. But I suppose what I'm most known for is my work that is a critique of the Word of Faith movement, as well as the New Apostolic Reformation, the health and wealth, name it and claim it, prosperity gospel, people like Benny Hinn and Joel Osteen and Bill Johnson at Bethel Church in Redding, California, Joyce Meyer, Todd White, these kind of individuals, Jesse Duplantis, Creflo Dollar, on and on. In other words, most of the people you see on Christian television, not all of them, but the vast majority, on networks like TBN and Daystar and Inspiration Network and these others. So that's kind of what I'm most known for. My seminar, Clouds Without Water, is a biblical critique of this movement, but it's by no means my only interest. And people think all I do is watch TBN all day long and the truth. So I really don't. My first love is just preaching God's Word verse by verse. But I travel across the United States and internationally as well. I think I've preached in 25 different countries now, and some of them multiple times. So God's been very gracious in opening up these doors for me, and I just love to see the light come on with people when they're exposed to the truth of God's Word, and you see the truth resonate with God's sheep, and just thrills my soul. So that's it in a nutshell.
Well, I hope to remember to keep repeating this website. This is a very important website that everybody listening should have on file somewhere, but it's justinpeters.org, justinpeters.org, and you will discover a wealth of information there. And God willing, this isn't set in stone yet because Justin and I just started to communicate about this just moments before the show started, but God willing, Justin will be the January 2020 speaker at the next, or I shouldn't say the next, next year's Iron Sharpens Iron Pastors Luncheon. So mark that down somewhere to remind me, not to remind me, but to ask me more information about that as we get closer to that date and we have more details finalized as to the exact date and all those other specifics. The next Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastors Luncheon is going to be held, God willing, May 23rd of this year, featuring Dr. Tony Costa of Toronto Baptist Seminary, where he is the professor of apologetics in Islam. And he is a Reformed Baptist and a really phenomenal preacher and teacher and speaker and lecturer. And I'm sure you will love Dr. Costa. But as I said, hopefully in 2020, in January, we will have Justin Peters join us. Now let us know something about this conference, the first one that you will be a part of. You're on the speaking roster at the Sanctification Through Suffering Conference in Freehold, New Jersey. Tell us about that.
Yes, Christopher, I'm looking forward to this. It is coming up here in just a few days, March 15th through the 16th. It is the Sanctification Through Suffering Conference. I will be one of the speakers, along with Frank Mullis, Joe Suzo, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing his last name correctly or not, and Colleen Sharp, and it's being hosted by Striving for Eternity Ministries. It's headed by Andrew Rappaport. And so we're really, really looking forward to this. And, you know, it's a conference on suffering, which may not sound real enjoyable or real exciting, I suppose. I'm not sure how many conferences I've seen that are geared around suffering, but it's a reality of life, right? I mean, we all suffer. It's just a consequence of living in a fallen world. And so we're going to be taking this topic, and we're going to be looking at it from a thoroughly biblical perspective. What is suffering? Why do we suffer? Is God aware of our suffering? Is he in control of our suffering? Can we be sanctified through our suffering? What is the purpose of suffering? And so we're going to be looking at all of these issues, dealing from a biblical perspective, and the Bible has much to say about suffering. So I'm looking forward to it. I think by God's grace, it'll be a profitable time. In that, it will edify the saints, encourage the saints. So we're looking forward to it, Chris.
Amen. And you say that it doesn't sound like a very joyful topic, but in reality, those who are suffering, so those who are going through a heartbreaking trial of some kind, they may wind up rejoicing while they're there because they may find purpose in their suffering for the first time in their lives. The fact that it is titled Sanctification Through Suffering obviously intends to convey the biblical idea that our suffering is not purposeless, as I think those who deny the doctrines of grace, I think that if they deny God's sovereignty over all things, I have a hard time understanding how they can come to the conclusion that suffering can always have a purpose, and a good purpose for a Christian. It doesn't always have a good purpose for everybody, but it has good purposes for Christians or those that the Lord is drawing to himself before they're saved.
Yeah.
People may wind up having hearts overflowing with joy while they are in attendance and after they leave.
Yes. Yes, that's certainly what we're praying for, Chris, and you're exactly right. And Charles Spurgeon, if this isn't a direct quote, it's kind of a paraphrase. He said, "The sovereignty of God is the pillow upon which I lay my head at night." And without an understanding of God's sovereignty, without a robust understanding of that, that he is sovereign, that he is in control, that nothing can come our way that is outside of his will, or his permissive will at least, I would despair, Chris. Honestly, if I did not have a robust understanding of God's sovereignty, I would truly despair in this life because it is so full of suffering. Of course, some people suffer more acutely than others, but knowing that God is in control, that gives me confidence when I face suffering. That gives me confidence and joy in the midst of suffering, knowing that there is a reason for it. God does have a purpose for it. And one of the points that I will make in the conference, many people are familiar with Romans 8:28, for we know that God causes all things to work together for the good for those who love him, those who are called according to his purpose. A lot of people think that that verse says that all things are good, but that's not what the verse says. It does not say that all things are good, because all things are not good. You know, it's not good when a person is left quadriplegic in a car accident. It's not good when someone gets multiple sclerosis. It's not good when a child gets cancer. These are not good things. So all things aren't good, but God in his sovereignty, in his good providence, does work all things together for the good. And so that's an important thing to keep in mind. And all suffering, whatever facet it takes, however it manifests itself, is a result of us living in a fallen world. Job says that man is short-lived and born for trouble as the sparks fly upward. And so in other words, just as naturally as like when you have a campfire and you throw a log on it or you stoke it with a poker or whatever, the sparks fly upward. Just as naturally as that happens, suffering is just that natural, living in a fallen world. It is the fallen state of creation as a whole. It's the fallen state of man, our fallen heart, our fallen bodies, our fallen wills, our fallen intellects that create suffering. So it's just a natural and unavoidable part of life. James says, count it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, not if you encounter various trials. So it's just, we all suffer, to varying degrees, but we all suffer. And so we need to understand this from a biblical perspective so that when it comes, we're prepared for it. And one of the things that I want to stress in my teaching at the conference is that we need to have our theology right. We need to have our theology in place before the real suffering comes. And don't wait until you're in the midst of a trial, until you're in the midst of some season of intense suffering to try to get your theology right. Get it right now. You don't want to try to build a house in the middle of a storm. You want to have your house built and grounded before the storm comes, so when the storm does come, you'll be ready for it. And so this is why theology and doctrine are so very important.
Yeah, there's another key element to Romans 8:28, and many times well-meaning Christians, perhaps, and perhaps greeting card companies that are run by people that aren't even Christians at all, but who love Romans 8:28, at least part of it, that all things work together for the good. But obviously that's not the end of the story. The full text reads, for those who love God and are the called according to his purpose. Not every human being can look at their infliction and their suffering and their trials and take comfort that it is for their good if they are headed for hell. This is not the case, unless, unbeknownst to them and all of us around them, they are one of the elect that is not yet born again and is being drawn to God. But a lost person cannot hold on to this as a promise to him or her, can they?
No, they can't. No, they can't. Romans 8:28 is specifically for believers, and someone who is outside of Christ, who has no affections for Christ, no affections for the things of God, does not have that promise at all. And it is no wonder that so many people end up taking their lives when they go through some kind of a severe trial, because if you don't have your confidence rooted in the sovereign God, then it would indeed seem meaningless, purposeless. It would seem like you're suffering in vain for no reason. And and there would be nothing, there's nothing inherently within a person, himself or herself, who's outside of Christ, to be able to endure suffering and see God's purpose in it. So, yes, it would be a very despairing place to be in indeed.
That is why it's foolish and unbiblical, and something that you can never find anywhere in the pages of Scripture, where a Christian is to approach a lost person and say to him or her, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. You would have to be a prophet to know that God has a wonderful plan for each and every individual that we meet, because that tragically is not always the case either, which goes hand in hand with what we just said.
Exactly, Chris. That's I can't remember if maybe that was Campus Crusade for Christ or whoever it was that came up with that approach, that gospel method of evangelizing people, saying to them that God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. That's not something I would ever say to anyone, and it's not even something I would say to a Christian without some clarification, because in and of itself, that is true. God does love us, and he does have wonderful plans for our lives. But what God deems as wonderful may not always seem so wonderful to us. God had a wonderful plan for Peter's life. The wonderful plan that God had for Peter's life was to be crucified upside down. God had a wonderful plan for Stephen's life. The wonderful plan that God had for Stephen's life was to be stoned. God had a wonderful plan for the life of the Apostle Paul and John the Baptist, and the wonderful plan that God had for their lives was to be imprisoned and beheaded. So God does indeed love us, and he does indeed have wonderful plans for our lives, but what God deems as wonderful may not always seem so wonderful to us. Sometimes God is most glorified in us not when things are going well, but when we are in the midst of suffering, when we are in the midst of trials, when we are in the midst of persecution, when we are in the midst of sickness. And yet, through the suffering, through the sickness, through the trials, through the persecution, we remain faithful to Christ, and we seek to point others to him. And so sometimes God is most glorified in us in times like that, not when everything is wonderful, not when everything is just sunshine, lollipops, and unicorns all the time.
Well, I have to say that no portion of my life involves unicorns.
Same here.
Well, unless you are referring to the occasional trip to the zoo that involves rhinoceroses, or is it rhinoceri? Or I don't know how you say that in plural.
That's a good question. I'm not sure.
But it is believed that that is the original intention of that word, unicorn, was not a horse with wings and a horn. It was referring to rhinoceroses as originally.
Right.
Well, this interview would not be complete, especially regarding the subject matter of sanctification through suffering, if we did not hone in on one of the main reasons, in addition to your brilliance and your biblical wisdom and biblical literacy and knowledge, one of the reasons that you have been invited to be on the roster at this conference, Sanctification Through Suffering, is that you, for the majority of your life, have been battling with the infliction of cerebral palsy, and people who have gotten to know you are just so impressed and perhaps even envious of the way that you handle yourself in public as a brother in Christ, having this dilemma of cerebral palsy, and many of us do not fare nearly as well as you do with things infinitely less serious. I could include myself in that number, the amount of times I grumble and complain. Now, obviously, I also do not hang out with you behind closed doors when you are alone in the privacy of your life, you may go through a great deal of difficulty handling what you are experiencing. I don't know, but people that know you don't wear that on your sleeve in public, that's for sure. But if you could tell our listeners all about this journey of yours from the moment you first knew, or that your parents knew, that you had cerebral palsy, and then continue on from there.
Sure, Chris. Yes, I was actually born with cerebral palsy, so as best I understand my own condition, if you're not born with CP, I don't think you're ever going to have it. It happens as a consequence of something in the injury, either just before birth or during birth. For in my case, the umbilical cord was wrapped around my neck and cut off the blood flow to my brain, and did some motor damage to my limbs and my nervous system and whatnot. So I guess you could say I've had cerebral palsy for my entire life, except maybe the first 9 months of it from conception to birth. But and my parents didn't know I had it until I was, I don't think I was diagnosed with it until I was a year old, but my parents knew, they noticed that when the time came when I should have been sitting up, I wasn't sitting up, and the time came when I should have been crawling, and I still wasn't sitting up, so they knew that something was wrong. They took me back to the doctor, and that's when the doctor diagnosed me with cerebral palsy, so when I was about a year old. So CP, it has a wide range of effects, Chris. Some people with cerebral palsy, you wouldn't even know they had it unless they told you. It can be very, very mild. But on the other end of the spectrum, it can be far, far worse than the case that I have. I guess I have a moderate case of it. I can walk on crutches. I can't walk very far. I drag my feet pretty badly and sway when I walk, but I can get around on crutches, and I can dress myself. I can feed myself, and it takes me longer to do things than it does others. It takes, well, from start to finish, when I get up in the morning, if I'm going to shower and shave and brush my teeth and get dressed and whole nine yards, and that's almost a two-hour process for me. But I can do it, and a lot of people with cerebral palsy can't. Some people with CP can't speak. In fact, I know a young man named Todd Arnold who lives in Missouri, and Todd is his father, Matt Arnold. Matt is about 25 years old now. He has cerebral palsy. He has the same condition I do, but far, far worse. He cannot dress himself. He cannot feed himself. He cannot give himself a drink of water. He cannot move about on his own. He's completely and totally helpless, and Matt can't even speak. He's completely nonverbal. But he's just as intelligent as you or me or anybody else. He is just trapped in a body that he can't control, and I cannot relate to that. I cannot imagine. I just can't imagine how horrible that must be. But he loves the Lord. He loves Christ. Because the greatest miracle that could ever be done in his life has already been done in his life when God saved him. When God saved him from his sin, that is the greatest miracle of all. And it's not easy for me all the time to be handicapped. I can't imagine what it must be like for Matt. And I suppose, Chris, I'm not bitter about my handicap because I've never known anything different. I was born this way. This is my normal. I think I can honestly say I've never really been bitter about it, but that does not mean that there haven't been hard times. There have been hard times, and there are still hard times. And I love it in James chapter 1. In fact, this is the text I'll be preaching, my primary text at the conference. James says, "Count it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result." When James says, "Count it all joy," James does not say, enjoy your trials. That's not what he says. He says, count them as joy. Count it as joy when you encounter these trials. Not that we are supposed to enjoy our trials. You know, Chris, I don't always enjoy having cerebral palsy. There are times when I wish I didn't. I'm not bitter about my handicap. I hope I don't complain about it, but it's not always easy. And I would encourage people who may be listening right now, whatever the trial is that you're going through, please don't fall into this hyper-spiritual trap that if you are going through a trial right now and you're not enjoying it, that there's something wrong with you, that means you're not spiritual enough. We're not supposed to enjoy trials. Trials, by definition, are not enjoyable. That's why they're called trials. They're not meant to be enjoyed. So it's not that we're supposed to enjoy our trials. We're supposed to count them as joy, knowing that whether God removes the trial or whether he gives us his sufficient grace to remain underneath that trial, that we can have joy without enjoying the trial. We can have joy knowing that God is in control and that God is good, and he can never act towards us in any way that is incongruent with his character and his nature.
You reminded me of something that a dear brother said to me, and he was a dear brother. He's now with the Lord. But I think in an effort to perhaps unconsciously be super spiritual about matters, and perhaps even intending to be comforting to me, he said something that was rather foolish when I had discovered that my mother, back in 1995, had pancreatic cancer with a very grim diagnosis of 6 months to live. As it turned out, she went home to be with the Lord 6 weeks after her diagnosis rather than 6 months.
Oh, wow.
And she was raised a Roman Catholic and had remained a Roman Catholic her entire life until 6 weeks before entering eternity. Praise be to God, she embraced the true gospel. She renounced prayer to Mary and the saints, and was trusting.
Oh, good.
She was trusting solely in the perfect, finished work of Christ on Calvary. And she expressed these things without coaching from me. These naturally flowed from her heart and mouth during the last 6 weeks of her life, after being more heavily evangelized, perhaps, by me, but not in any overbearing way, but just in a conversational way. And these things came out of her like a fountain. But anyway, this brother, this brother who was in attendance at a prayer meeting before my mother died, and I was asking for healing for her, if it be God's will, this brother, after the prayer meeting was over, approached me and said, "Brother, just remember, it's a sin for you to want your mother to live if it's the Lord's will for her to die." And I said to him, "Yes, that's true, brother, but how do I know that's God's will until it happens? I mean, while she's still alive, there's nothing wrong with me having hope, nothing wrong with me praying that the Lord miraculously delivers her from that death sentence, but it was not his will to do that, and she is in heaven with Christ." But that's the kind of foolish thing that it's a good reminder to not only us, but to others listening, and to perhaps that we can mildly and gently correct others when they say foolish things. But Christians, even seasoned Christians, can say very foolish things in an effort to encourage and comfort someone in a time of despair, don't they?
Yeah, they really can, Chris. They really can. And that's you're exactly right. That was definitively the wrong thing for him to say, because you don't know. None of us knows when our appointed time is. And there's nothing at all wrong with praying for someone to be healed of a sickness or a disease. I have some people on my prayer list that I pray for healing, but in doing so, I also pray for God's will to be done, and And I also pray, as I pray for myself, that when God does not remove the trial, fill in the blank, whatever it may be, that if he does not remove it, that he will give me his sufficient grace to sustain me through the trial, and that I would carry myself in such a way that honors him and glorifies him and points other people to him. So, that was not a good thing for him to say at all. And you know, none of us wants to see a loved one suffer. And truths, when God wills for us to go, we will go at our appointed time. I've heard it said. A missionary friend of mine in South Africa said, "I am immortal until God takes me."
That's right.
that's well said. But none of us knows when that time is, and we don't want to. None of us wants to see a loved one suffer and leave us this side of heaven. But so, nothing at all wrong with praying that God would heal a loved one or friend of sickness and disease. But that's unfortunate that he would say that.
Well, the best of us say stupid things. In fact, if anybody listens to Honor and Shepherd's Iron Radio on a daily basis, they know that I say them probably every day.
I tell you what, I'm grateful that some of the earlier sermons that I preached when I was much, much younger and much, much dumber, I'm glad some of those sermons aren't recorded anyway. So.
Well, we have to go to our first break right now. If anybody would like to join us with a question for Justin Peters regarding sanctification through suffering, in fact, anything that you want to ask Justin in regard to his ministry, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please, as always, give us your first name, at least your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. And please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages with more of Justin Peters and sanctification through suffering.
My name is Steve Lawson, founder and president of One Passion Ministries, as well as teaching fellow for Ligonier Ministries. I serve as professor of preaching and oversee the Doctor of Ministry program at the Master's Seminary in Los Angeles. I would like to recommend the church where one of my preaching students, Andy Woodard, serves as the pastor. It's called New Covenant Church, NYC. They are a Reformed Baptist church that meets in Midtown Manhattan. You can find their service times and location on their website, which is www.ncc.nyc. They believe in a sovereign God who commands all men everywhere to repent and believe the gospel. If you're looking for a church that believes in expository preaching, which is simply biblical preaching, in New York City, I'd like to recommend that you visit New Covenant Church, NYC. Again, their information can be found at www.ncc.nyc. Have a great day.
Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group. .org/podcast.
I'm Dr. Gary Kimbrell, pastor of Bethlehem Baptist Church in Laurel, Mississippi. God tells us in James 1:27 that pure and undefiled religion is to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. In the providence of God, 3 years ago, I discovered a poor small church outside Lusaka, Zambia, in a township called Kabanana, who are taking care of 24 orphans. I found them just at the time when they had lost all their funding. What was I to do? Could I just say, God bless you, and walk away? The situation of the children sat heavily upon me. As I was praying concerning this need, it came to me, I trust from the Lord, to tell the orphans' plight to a broader audience. The entire need for their clothing, food, education, and some medical services is $73 per month per child. If just 50 of us would give $35 a month, we could meet the need. Bethlehem Baptist Church will pay the fee to get the funds there, so if you give a dollar will get to the orphans. In this season of hope and giving, will you consider giving hope to 24 orphans? Please send your gift of any amount to Bethlehem Baptist Church, 838 Reed Road, Laurel, Mississippi, 39443, or donate through our website, bbclaurel.com. Again, the address is Bethlehem Baptist Church, 838 Reed Road, Laurel, Mississippi, 39443, or bbclaurel.com. Thank you.
Chris Sorensen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio here. I want to tell you about a man I have personally known for many years. His name is Dan Buttafuoco. Dan is a personal injury and medical malpractice lawyer, but not the type that typically comes to mind. Dan cares about people and is a theologian himself. Recently, he wrote a book titled Consider the Evidence for the Bible. Ravi Zacharias wrote the foreword. Dan also has a master's degree in theology. Dan handles serious injury and medical malpractice cases in all 50 states. He represents many Christians in serious injury matters all over the country. Dan is an exceptional trial lawyer. He wrote the test for the National Board of Trial Advocacy. And currently his firm has over 100 cases that have settled for $1 million or more and in approximately 10 different states. In Illinois, his lawyers had the fourth largest settlement in the state's history. In New York, his case involving a paralyzed police officer made the front page of the Law Journal. If you have a serious personal injury or medical malpractice claim in any state, I recommend that you call Dan. Consultations are free. There is no fee unless you win. Dan Buttafuoco's number is 1-800-669-4878. 1-800-669-4878. Or email me for Dan's contact information at chrisarnzen@gmail.com. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com.
Hello, my name is James Renahan, and I'm the president of IRBS Theological Seminary in Mansfield, Texas. The Word of God says, if a man desires the office of an overseer, he desires a good thing. Do you have the desire to serve Jesus Christ in pastoral ministry? 20 years ago, the Institute of Reformed Baptist Studies at Westminster Seminary, California was born. For those two decades, these institutions worked together to train men for ministry in Reformed Baptist churches. It has been a wonderful partnership. Now we have advanced our school into an independent seminary offering a full program of courses leading to the Master of Divinity degree. This is IRBS Theological Seminary. We believe that the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments are the inspired and inerrant Word of God, that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh who came to save sinners by his life, death, and resurrection, and that the task of the church is to honor and serve the triune God in all things. IRBS Theological Seminary is dedicated by God's grace to preparing godly ministers who will be committed to these doctrines. Do you sense a call to serve Jesus Christ and his church as a pastor? Why not consider IRBS Theological Seminary? You'll find more information at irbsseminary.org. That's irbsseminary.org, two S's in the middle. I hope to hear from you soon. God bless you.
One sure way all Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners can help keep my show on the air is to support my advertisers. I know you all use batteries every day, so I'm urging you all from now on to exclusively use BatteryDepot.com for all your battery needs. At BatteryDepot.com, they're changing the status quo. They're flipping the script. They're sticking it to the man. In other words, they'd like to change the battery industry for good by providing an extensive inventory of top-of-the-line batteries that are uniformly new, dependable, and affordable.
Ordering from BatteryDepot.com ensures you'll always get fresh out-of-the-box batteries you can count on to work properly at competitive prices. Whether you need batteries for cordless phones, cell phones, radios, PCs, laptops, tablets, baby monitors, hearing aids, smoke detectors, credit card readers, digital cameras, electronic cigarettes, GPSs, MP3 players, watches, or nearly anything else you own that needs batteries, go to BatteryDepot.com. Next day shipping available. All products protected by 30-day guarantees and 6-month warranties. Call 866-403-3768. That's 866-403-3768. Or go to BatteryDepot.com. That's BatteryDepot.com.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402, or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen. If you just tuned us in, our guest today for the full 2 hours with less than 90 minutes to go is one of my favorite guests of all time, Justin Peters. He is the founder of Justin Peters Ministries, and he is also speaking at a conference in Freehold, New Jersey very soon on the theme Sanctification Through Suffering. That's coming up actually this weekend, Friday the 15th and Saturday the 16th of March. And if you want more details on this conference, go to strivingforeternity.com. That's strivingforeternity.com. I'm sorry, it's strivingforeternity.org. Strivingforeternity.org. I apologize to Andrew Rappaport and everybody over there at Striving for Eternity. Strivingforeternity.org, and you can find all of the information that you need on this conference. If you would like to join us right now with a question of your own, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. We do have a number of people waiting to have their questions asked and answered, but I am going to hold off for a little bit on them because they are not on the topic that we are addressing. So I will get to them, God willing, soon, but I just wanted to flesh out more of this specific topic that we are addressing on sanctification through suffering. One of the things that goes through my mind is someone like you, who was born with cerebral palsy, you've never known anything else. You, for lack of a better term, and I don't mean to be insulting in any way, but you may be having an easier time, and in fact, you are certainly having an easier time in life managing this because you've never known anything else than someone who has become inflicted with a medical or physical problem later in their lives that they've never experienced. There are people out there who have been primely conditioned athletes, people who have been at the top of their health and fitness and strength and speed and endurance and stamina and skill in athletic endeavors, who have been stricken with things that have basically made them either temporarily or permanently give up those kinds of activities and perhaps even basic run-of-the-mill ordinary activities that your average person goes through every day, including even the elderly. They may not even be able to do things that senior citizens can do with ease on a regular basis. They are going to be typically hit harder mentally and emotionally and even spiritually than someone like you. Would I be jumping too far of a leap to come to that conclusion?
No, not at all, Chris. In fact, that's something I tell people often, is that very thing. I was born with cerebral palsy. I've never known anything different. This is my normal. I think it would be far, far harder to have been born able-bodied and then lose that, lose your ability to move about on your own or do things, whether through an accident or a progressive disease that you contract later on in life, like multiple sclerosis or muscular dystrophy or something like that. To know what it's like to be normal, know what it's like to be able-bodied, know what it's like to be able to get up and, you know, get dressed in a couple of minutes and run out the door or take a walk around the block or something like that, and then have that taken away from you, I think would be far, far harder. And so that's a very fair point, a very fair point. So, there are far worse things than cerebral palsy, especially the degree of it that I have, which is just kind of a moderate case. So, yeah, it would be far more difficult to have been able, but, you know, so somebody like Joni Erickson Tada, she was born able-bodied, and then she had that diving accident. I've known a number of people. In fact, are you familiar with David Miller by chance?
Oh, I've not only interviewed David Miller on the show, but I've also heard him preach at the G3 conference. And in fact, the last time I was there, I had the privilege of having my photograph taken with him.
Yeah, what a dear, dear brother. I can't even remember. Maybe you know. I can't even remember the name of his disease, what he has.
I don't right now, no.
Yeah, slow, progressive thing that he contracted, I think, as a young man.
Yeah, he was a star athlete in high school.
Yes, that's correct. And now he is, of course, he's an older man now. I think he's around 70 years old, but he is a quadriplegic in a wheelchair, and he can't do anything for himself physically. He can still speak, but that's about it. That's all he can do. And as you probably know, he has a son who was able-bodied and was in a car accident, and it left him a quadriplegic. So you have father and son in the same family, both of them quadriplegics. They got in that condition in different ways. But, you know, I think of his son who was able-bodied, and then he had all that taken away. It'd be far, far harder. Because, you know what, you know, I don't miss walking because I've never known it. And it's like I don't miss flying in a space shuttle because I've never known it. But that's a very fair point, absolutely.
Yeah, but I would imagine, though, and perhaps you are far more sanctified than I am. In fact, I already know that you're more sanctified than I am. I don't. There's no guesswork involved in that. But I'm assuming that even somebody as godly as you are, not that you would brag about that for yourself, but am I wrong to think that you are at times guilty of envy, of when you look at people doing things with ease that you cannot do, a child or even a senior citizen doing something that you even need their help on occasion? Does that bring envy into your life, or perhaps you've been able to overcome that in your sanctification?
Well, No, not completely. I hope to some degree I've overcome it. I've mortified that, but not completely. And just as a case in point, I just got back from the Shepherd's Conference in Los Angeles, and I was there with my pastor and a couple friends of mine from church. And my pastor, Jim Osmond, and I did some recording at Grace to You Studios, and we did a series on spiritual warfare. In fact, I think you've had him on your program. But we left the hotel.
And who is this?
Of course, I'm Jim Osmond.
Oh, yes, I have had Jim on, and he's your pastor. Yeah.
Yes, he is. Great guy. And when we left the hotel early in the morning to go record, of course, I get dressed once a day. Whatever I have to have on later in the day, that's what I put on first thing in the morning, because getting dressed is, it's a chore. It's no small task for me to dress and undress. So we leave the hotel, and I'm in my suit and tie and everything ready to record. And Jim walks out in cargo pants and a T-shirt, and he's carrying his clothes to change into them later. And I told him, I said, man, I have no comprehension of that. Being able to, you know, duck away and change clothes real quick. And, you know, I can't even relate to that. So I have to admit that there is a certain amount of envy, I suppose, because I do have the thought, like, man, it would be nice to be able to do that. You know, just to whip out some clothes and undress and dress again, be done in less than 5 minutes. That would be nice. You know, I can't do that. Have no comprehension of it. So, yeah.
Well, don't feel too bad, because I can't do that either, even though I'm comparatively able-bodied.
Right.
I'm colorblind, which also puts a big hurdle in my getting dressed.
Oh yeah, I guess so. Huh? I can imagine.
And of course, I don't mean. I'm. I hope that none of my listeners think I'm being rude by saying that in comparison to some serious condition that you're in.
No, and you know, Chris, we can always find somebody that suffers far worse than we do. You know, and that's true of me. It's true of you. It's true of all of us. And so, fair point and accurate point.
Well, one of the reasons that I think that you could be an invaluable, one of the many reasons that you are invaluable to discuss this, obviously having gone through such a debilitating illness for your entire life, and as you've already used the term yourself, handicapped, and I'm assuming that the politically correct language police are off bounds when they start insulting and defaming people for using terms like handicapped and disabled. Are these appropriate terms for you?
I chuckle because I'm not at all a politically correct person. I think political correctness is just really dumb. But I call myself a little white cripple boy all the time. That's what I am. I mean, I'm crippled. I'm not physically challenged or whatever the PC term is nowadays. I don't go for that. I'm crippled. That's what I am. I'm crippled, and it doesn't bother me. I'm not one to get hung up on being PC. I think that's a waste of time. It's kind of ridiculous.
Well, I think that you are an excellent guest to speak to the hearts and minds of people, not only who are going through an infliction themselves of a wide spectrum of things that could be going on in their lives, but if they are a Christian, they have the absolute certain promise that this will work together for their good from our Lord. And how can you counsel those listening, whether it is someone in a wheelchair or in a hospital bed who can't even sit in a wheelchair, or someone who is perhaps even just racked with depression because their spouse has cheated on them, or their spouse has abandoned them, or their spouse has died, or a precious child has died, or you can go on and on with the horrific things that could happen to a Christian, or perhaps even a non-Christian that's listening, that may be provoked to jealousy in a good way, the kind of jealousy that Paul desires to see happen in the hearts of his kinsmen, the Jews, but a jealousy to want to know Christ, to know that all things will work together for their good if they are one of Christ's own. But what kind of counsel can you give to our listeners when they wake up in the morning, the very first thing that they may be thinking of, when they stare at the ceiling, when they open their eyes in a hospital bed or other circumstance? If you could, just unburden your heart and speak to the hearts and minds of our listeners.
Yes, Chris. I would make a couple of points pertinent to your question. And the first point I'm going to make is going to sound a bit harsh at first, but please do bear with me. Ask our listeners to bear with me here. One of the things that really helps me to keep my suffering, my afflictions, in perspective is this: knowing that I do not deserve not to suffer. I do not deserve not to suffer. We have to remember, you know, the age-old question, why does God allow bad things to happen to good people? That's the wrong question. There is no such thing as a good person. You're not a good person. I'm not a good person. There is none who is good. No, not one. There's none who understands and none who seeks after God. Jesus told the rich young ruler, the rich young ruler addressed him as good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus says, why do you call me good? No one is good except God. So there is only one who is good. Of course, Jesus there, by the way, was affirming his deity, that I am good because I am God. So there's only been one time in which a bad thing happened to a good person, and that's when Christ was crucified. That's the only time that a bad thing has happened to a good person.
Yeah, I just saw a meme recently on Facebook where the late R.C. Sproul was being quoted as saying, why do bad things happen to good people? That only happened once, and he volunteered. That was the way it was worded.
That's right. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Absolutely. And because of our sin, because of our rebellion against God, God does not owe us anything. He does not owe us a comfortable life. My pastor, Jim Osmond, and I were having lunch a couple of years ago, and he said, if God were to strike from me everything that I own, every possession I have, were to be taken away, my family were to be taken away from me, my children, my wife, and God were to leave me alone in a ditch to die a cold, slow, painful death, and then send me straight to hell, he would have done me no wrong. Now, that may sound harsh, but that's true. That's good theology right there.
Amen.
So we have to, when we keep that in mind, knowing that anything short of hell is God's mercy towards us, I think that does helps us in a tremendous way to bear up under life's trials, knowing that we don't deserve an easy life. We don't deserve comfort and ease. Anything short of hell is God's grace. So we will not go through anything that we don't deserve, that our sins have not earned us. So that's one thing, is keeping that in a eschatological perspective and a proper theological perspective. And the other thing I would say is that if you're listening and you are suffering horribly, maybe suffering far worse than anything I've ever experienced or dreamed of, as difficult as it is, remember what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4, 17 through 18. Paul said, for this light momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. For as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen, for the things that are seen are transient, they're temporary, but the things that are unseen are eternal. No matter how hard the suffering is, keep in mind that this is but temporary. It is but for a moment. This life is so short, it is so fleeting, that no matter how much we suffer in this short life, we can have comfort knowing that we have all of eternity to live without our suffering. I have all of eternity to live with a glorified body. If I have to live with cerebral palsy for the next couple of decades, I don't know if averages hold up or however much time God has allotted for me. If I have to live with cerebral palsy for the rest of my life, that's fine. I've got all of eternity to live without it. And not only that, not only do we have all of eternity to live with the glorified body, we have all of eternity to live with Christ. knowing Him, worshiping Him fully, enjoying Him for all of eternity, basking in His glory, in His the unspeakable radiance of His glory, and marveling at Him for all of eternity. And He is our reward. He is our reward. So keep in mind that no matter how bad the suffering is, it's transient, it's temporary, it's fleeting. And once we get to heaven, all of these things will be distant memories if we remember them at all. And so having an eternal perspective on these things, I think, helps us a lot. And also knowing that we do not go through anything in this life alone. As Christians, we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God. The third person of the triune Godhead resides within us, and He sanctifies us. He helps us to understand God's Word, and He is the Paraclete, right? He's our comforter, and we have the fellowship of the brethren, so we have everything that we need to endure the trials of life. So there's never a reason for the Christian to despair. Never a reason for the Christian to be without hope.
Amen. We're going to our midway break right now. It's a longer than normal break because Grace Life Radio in Lake City, Florida, who airs Iron Sharpens Iron Radio twice daily in a pre-recorded format, they need this time to air their own public service announcements and commercials while we air our own commercials that are heard globally. So please be patient as we take this elongated break that we always do midway through the show. And please use the time wisely. Write down all of the information provided by our advertisers so that you can patronize them more frequently and successfully, because we rely upon our advertisers' dollars, their funding, to exist. And so the more likely, or should I say, the more frequently you patronize our advertisers, the more likely they will remain our advertisers, which means, in conclusion, that we will more likely remain on the air longer. So please patronize our advertisers and write down the information that they provide so that you can do so successfully and frequently. Also write down questions for our guest, Justin Peters, and send them to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. Please give us your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. And please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. God willing, we'll be back shortly with Justin Peters and more on sanctification through suffering.
Tired of box store Christianity, of doing church in a warehouse with all the trappings of a rock concert? Do you long for a more traditional and reverent style of worship? And how about the preaching? Perhaps you've begun to think that in-depth biblical exposition has vanished from Long Island. Well, there's good news. Wading River Baptist Church exists to provide believers with a meaningful and reverent worship experience, featuring the systematic exposition of God's Word. And this loving congregation looks forward to meeting you. Call them at 631-929-3512 for service times, 631-929-3512, or check out their website at wrbc.us. That's wrbc.us.
I'm James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. The New American Standard Bible is perfect for daily reading or in-depth study. Used by pastors, scholars, and everyday readers, the NASB is widely embraced and trusted as a literal and readable Bible translation. The NASB offers clarity and readability while maintaining high accuracy to the original languages, which the NASB is known for. The NASB is available in many editions, like a topical reference Bible. Researched and prepared by biblical scholars devoted to accuracy, the new topical reference Bible includes contemporary topics relevant to today's issues. From compact to giant print Bibles, find an NASB that fits your needs very affordably at nasbible.com. Whichever edition you choose, trust, discover, and enjoy the NASB for yourself today. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com.
Iron Sharpens Iron welcomes Solid Rock Remodeling to our family of sponsors. Serving South Central Pennsylvania, Solid Rock Remodeling is focused on discovering, understanding, and exceeding your expectations.
They deliver personalized project solutions with exceptional results. Solid Rock Remodeling offers a full range of home renovations, including kitchen and bath remodeling, decks, porches, windows and doors, roof and siding, and more. For a clear, detailed professional estimate, call this trustworthy team of problem solvers who provide superior results that stand the test of time. Call Solid Rock Remodeling at 717-697-1981, 717-697-1981, or visit solidrockremodeling.com. That's solidrockremodeling.com. Solid Rock Remodeling, bringing new life to your home.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is sponsored by Harvey Cedars, a year-round Bible conference and retreat center nestled on the Jersey Shore. Harvey Cedars offers a wide range of accommodations to suit groups up to 400. For generations, Christians have enjoyed gathering and growing at Harvey Cedars. Each year, thousands of high school and college students come and learn more about God's Word. An additional 9,000 come annually to Harvey Cedars as families, couples, singles, men, women, pastors, seniors, and missionaries. 90 miles from New York City, 70 miles from Philly, and 95 miles from Wilmington, and easily accessible, scores of notable Christian groups frequently plan conferences at Harvey Cedars, like the Navigators, InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, Campus Crusade, and the Alliance of Confessing Evangelicals. Find Harvey Cedars on Facebook or at hcbible.org, hcbible.org. Call 609-494-5689, 609-494-5689. Harvey Cedars, where Christ finds people and changes lives.
Hi, I'm Stefan Lindblad, Assistant Professor of Systematic Theology at IRBS Theological Seminary in Mansfield, Texas. I accepted this call to teach at the seminary because I'm firmly convinced that the people of God in the churches of our Lord Jesus Christ need to be firmly grounded in the truth of Holy Scripture. I'm excited to be teaching such subjects as the nature of theology and the doctrine of Scripture, and even the doctrine of the person and work of Jesus Christ. Our churches and our people need to be well grounded in these truths. Indeed, future ministers of the gospel need to understand these truths in order to proclaim them to all of God's people. If you want to learn more about our program, visit us online at irbsseminary.org.
Chris Sorensen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio here. I want to tell you about a man I have personally known for many years. His name is Dan Buttafuoco. Dan is a personal injury and medical malpractice lawyer, but not the type that typically comes to mind. Dan cares about people and is a theologian himself. Recently, he wrote a book titled Consider the Evidence for the Bible. Ravi Zacharias wrote the foreword. Dan also has a master's degree in theology. Dan handles serious injury and medical malpractice cases in all 50 states. He represents many Christians in serious injury matters all over the country. Dan is an exceptional trial lawyer. He wrote the test for the National Board of Trial Advocacy. And currently his firm has over 100 cases that have settled for $1 million or more, and in approximately 10 different states. In Illinois, his lawyers had the fourth largest settlement in the state's history. In New York, his case involving a paralyzed police officer made the front page of the Law Journal. If you have a serious personal injury or medical malpractice claim in any state, I recommend that you call Dan. Consultations are free. There is no fee unless you win. Dan Buttafuoco's number is 1-800-669-4878. 1-800-669-4878. Or email me for Dan's contact information at chrisarnzen@gmail.com. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com.
Did you know that all believers are priests? In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, the Apostle Peter describes Christ's church as comprising a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. So if you're a Christian, you're also a priest. Now you can find the newest styles in Reformed and Protestant apparel at citizenpriest.com. Citizenpriest.com specializes in Christian-themed t-shirts and clothing especially for Reformed Christians. Citizenpriest.com's merchandise is purposefully scripture-based and meant for the edification of the saints and the furtherance of the gospel. Let everyone know that you stand firm on the doctrines of the Reformed faith by wearing apparel from citizenpriest.com. Visit citizenpriest.com today.
My name is Steve Lawson, founder and president of One Passion Ministries, as well as teaching fellow for Ligonier Ministries. I serve as professor of preaching and oversee the Doctor of Ministry program at the Master's Seminary in Los Angeles. I would like to recommend the church where one of my preaching students, Andy Woodard, serves as the pastor. It's called New Covenant Church, NYC. They are a Reformed Baptist church that meets in Midtown Manhattan. You can find their service times and location on their website, which is www.ncc.nyc. They believe in a sovereign God who commands all men everywhere to repent and believe the gospel. If you're looking for a church that believes in expository preaching, which is simply biblical preaching, in New York City, I'd like to recommend that you visit New Covenant Church, NYC. Again, their information can be found at www.ncc.nyc. Have a great day.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor, frequent co-host with Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I would like to introduce you to my good friends Todd and Patty Jennings at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Todd and Patty specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable to everyone. Since 1987, the family-owned and operated book service has sought to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means that you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting material promoted by the secular book vendors. Their website is cvbbs.com. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence as Todd and Patty work in service to you, the church, and to Christ. That's Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Let Todd and Patty know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnson. If you just tuned us in, our guest today for the full 2 hours with less than an hour to go is Justin Peters, founder of Justin Peters Ministries, and also one of the speakers at an upcoming Bible conference on the theme Sanctification Through Suffering. And today we are discussing one Christian's refusal to be deterred or defeated by cerebral palsy. If you'd like to join us on the air, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. And please give us, as always, at least your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA, and only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Before we return to our discussion with Justin, I just have some important announcements to make regarding upcoming events that I hope that you will attend, the first of which we've already been repeating throughout the program, but it deserves repeating again, and that's the Sanctification Through Suffering Conference, where Justin Peters is on the speaking roster. That's this Friday and Saturday in Freehold, New Jersey. The speakers, in addition to Justin Peters, are Frank Mullis, Joe Swozo, and I hope I'm not butchering your name, Joe. He's also going to be our guest tomorrow for the very first time on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio during the first hour, 4 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. And Colleen Sharp, who I've had on the program, she is producer and co-host of the Theology Gals podcast. That's this Friday, March 15th, and this Saturday, March 16th, in Freehold, New Jersey, and that will be held at the Chinese American Bible Church on 65 Gibson Place in Freehold, New Jersey. And it will not be conducted in the Chinese language. That's just the venue where they are having the event. And for more details, go to strivingforeternity.org, strivingforeternity.org. Then coming up is another conference where Justin Peters is on the speaking roster, along with my very dear friend since 1995, Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. They are going to be speaking at the Community Bible Church in Victoria, Texas, on Friday, March 29th, and also the 30th and the 31st. And the theme is going to be the sufficiency of Scripture. And if you would like more details, you can go to cbcvictoria.org, cbcvictoria.org. The church is located on 2205 East Mockingbird Lane. Must be right down the road from where the Munsters live. There was 1313 Mockingbird Lane, if my memory serves me right. But that's the Community Baptist Church of Victoria, Texas. And once again, the website is cbcvictoria.org. And that's March 29th through the 31st. The Sufficiency of Scripture, featuring Justin Peters and Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. And by the way, during some communication with Dr. White today, he informed me that he has a new nickname for my home state where I was born and raised, New York, Cuomoistan, the Soviet Socialist Republic of Cuomoistan, named after Andrew Cuomo, the horrific, God-hating governor of that state. But that is another topic for another time. Then coming up on March 30th, for those of you who live closer to Long Island, New York, my friend Bruce Bennett, who is my second guest tomorrow, 5 to 6 p.m. Eastern on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Pastor Bruce Bennett, who is pastor of the Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, on Saturday, March 30th at 6:30 p.m., he's going to be debating, God willing, a Roman Catholic apologist named Matthew Luke Broderick, and the theme is purgatory biblical? And if you'd like to attend that conference, go to the Word of Truth Church's website for all of the details, wotchurch.com, W-O-T, which stands for Word of Truth, wotchurch.com. And if you contact the folks there at the Word of Truth Church of Farmingville, please tell them that you heard about the conference from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Then I want you to know about a very important conference that I am going to be attending, God willing. This is right here in Elizabethtown, Pennsylvania, and that is the Banner of Truth Conference, more specifically the Banner of Truth East Coast Ministers Conference, which is being held at the Elizabethtown College in Elizabethtown, Pennsylvania. On the theme, I believe in the Holy Spirit. And this, for sure, is going to have a much more biblical definition on the person and work of the Holy Spirit than those heretics that our guest Justin Peters spends much of his life exposing as charlatans. This is coming from theologically reformed and biblically rich information from wonderful speakers that I'm sure you will be blessed by if you attend. And if you attend, please look for me and say I listen to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Please ask around until you find me, because I would love to share fellowship with some folks that listen to this show. But the I Believe in the Holy Spirit Conference of the Banner of Truth, which is the East Coast Ministers Conference, is being held May 28th through the 30th in Elizabethtown, Pennsylvania. And the speakers include Jeff Kingswood, Terry Johnston, David Vaughn, who's a Reformed Baptist missionary in France, Stephen J. Nichols, who is the president of Reformation Bible College, the college founded by R.C. Sproul and Ligonier Ministries, Michael Morales, and Chad Vegas. To find out all the details you need to attend, go to banneroftruth.org, banneroftruth.org. Last but not least, the Foundations Conference is being held in Manhattan, and I will be attending there as well, God willing. I love this conference. It's December 19th and the 20th in the heart of New York City, Manhattan. And they have a phenomenal lineup of speakers. I strongly urge you to register as quickly as possible because the venue only holds about 200 people maximum. Dr. Stephen J. Lawson is on the roster, Reverend Jeff Thomas, Richard Caldwell Jr., Reverend Armin Tomasian, Andrew Quigley, and Paul Washer was recently added to this roster. So please, if you want to register, go to thefoundationsconference.com, thefoundationsconference.com, and register as quickly as you can and tell them that you heard about the conference from Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Now, if you love this show, you don't want it to disappear from the airwaves, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You can donate instantly with a debit or credit card. We are in urgent need of your finances to help pay some very important bills. Please do the best as you can. With this caveat, I never want anybody siphoning money away from their regular giving to the local church where they are a member in order to give to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Never do that. Never put your family in financial jeopardy in order to give to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Those two things are commands of God. Providing for my show is not a command of God, but if you live, or should I say, if you are blessed financially above and beyond your ability to obey those two commands, then please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, and then click to donate now, and donate as frequently as you can and as heavily as you can, because we certainly do need your help. If you want to advertise, send me an email address to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line, and as long as whatever it is you're promoting is compatible with what we believe, we would love to help you launch an ad campaign, because we really do need your advertising dollars. And remember, if you are not a member of a Bible-believing church and you are not prayerfully seeking for one, you are living in rebellion against God. So please, if you need help finding a church, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put "I need a church home" in the subject line. Many people have found a church home through writing to me, because I have lists of biblically faithful churches all over the world. So you could be one of them. Just send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com if you need help finding a church home, or even if you're going on vacation and you need a recommendation for a biblically sound church. Now, you could also send in a question for Justin Peters, our guest today, at chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Please give us your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA, and only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. We do have an anonymous listener, Justin, who wants to know if you have a wife that helps you through your daily tasks in life.
I do indeed, Chris. I am married to a wonderful lady named Kathy. This August, Kathy and I will have been married 9 years.
Praise God.
And yes, indeed. Praise the Lord. Kathy was saved out of Roman Catholicism, and shortly after her conversion, she was turned on to the preaching ministry of John MacArthur, and just kind of like a sponge, just soaked up everything that he had to preach and teach, and some others as well. But so she's quite the theologian in her own right. But she does help me. In fact, she helps me do things now that I used to have to do on my own. And so usually on a daily basis, unless I'm on the road somewhere, but she'll help me get dressed in the morning and boxing shoes and whatnot, that saves me a lot of time. So, in fact, I probably put on some weight because the things I used to do for myself, she now helps me. I don't burn quite as many calories getting dressed nowadays as what I used to.
Well, thank you, Anonymous. Keep listening to the show. We have Don in Valdez, Arkansas. And Don asks, I live in a small town in Alaska. Oh, I'm sorry, I said Arkansas. It's Valdez, Alaska. I live in a small town in Alaska, and I just found out that a small NAR wannabe is trying to get foothold here. I've talked with my pastor about this, and we have a tentative plan for dealing with them. Can you ask Justin if there is, aside from praying and educating our church, is there anything my proactive, there's a little bit of grammatical error here, brother, so I'm going to have to try to sort this question out. Is there any proactive things he would recommend us doing? Thanks for your time.
Yeah, great, great question.
And I'm sorry, Don, you said you wanted to remain anonymous, but that was your very last sentence in the question. So next time, if you want to ask an anonymous question, put it in the subject line, not the very last line as I'm reading the question. Sorry about that. But anyway, Justin.
Well, I'm sure there's more than one Don in that town.
Well, maybe this will be a warning for these NAR folks to pack up and get out of town, get out of Dodge.
Yeah, exactly. He has every right to be concerned, right? And so NAR, New Apostolic Reformation, is a cult. It's led by people such as Bill Johnson and Rick Joyner, Todd White, Lou Engle, Heidi Baker, some of that cast of characters. It's a cult. It's a theological cult. He's right to be concerned. And I would say proactively, maybe a couple of things. There's a new documentary out entitled American Gospel by Brandon Kimber. It deals with this issue. Part of it, I was interviewed for it, but it's a good documentary, and it exposes a lot of the heresy. So look up that documentary, American Gospel by Brandon Kimber, and maybe order some of those. I think they have some bulk rates. And kind of disseminate them as best you can amongst some people there, especially in your own church, and help them to be aware of the issue. And I'm not at all inviting myself, but a lot of churches do have me come in if they've got a kind of a Word Faith NAR presence, or they know they soon will have a church like this coming in. They'll have me come in and preach and teach on this issue, and I would be happy to do that, if that's something your church might like to consider. But American Gospel DVD, the book Strange Fire is also a good resource. Defining Deception is another good book, authored by Anthony Wood and Kusty Hinn. So there are good resources out there. So do what you can to spread the word and educate the people in the town, because it's, you don't want that in your community. It's bad stuff.
I've had the privilege of having our mutual friend Kusty Hinn on this program, and he is quite a remarkable young man, nephew of Benny Hinn, who has committed his life not only to preaching the gospel first and foremost, but also to exposing men like his own uncle and other charlatans that teach very dangerous and deadly and damning doctrines.
Indeed.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to having Costa, Tony, I'm sorry, Tony Costa is my friend who's coming from Toronto to do our pastor's luncheon. And Kusty Hinn, I'm looking forward to Kusty Hinn coming back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio soon. And this NAR is the New Apostolic Revival, correct?
New Apostolic Reformation.
The Reformation, I'm sorry. In fact, I know that I have done at least one, perhaps more, interview on that. And when I find that book on the archives, I will let you know about another book that I recommend that I had featured on this program. Let's see here. We have another listener, and this listener is, I believe, a first-time questioner. My name is Ethan. I'm 28 years old. I live in Sophia, West Virginia. My question is in regard to same-sex attracted people who claim to be Christians like Sam Albury. To be certain, I've listened to hours and hours of the man's preaching, and I do believe him to be regenerate. I do question the Living Out website he's a part of, though. If I were same-sex attracted, it would make me feel pretty empty and hopeless. I'm very concerned because the church tends to be rather quiet about these incredibly serious and almost increasingly common issues of biblically minded human sexuality that a born-again person who remains same-sex attracted after being led to salvation will feel pretty alone because of hateful, graceless people who also claim Christ, and therefore perhaps be driven into not-so-orthodox branches of Christianity. I don't see any warrant to believe that every same-sex attracted person who surrenders their life to Christ will be immediately, if at all, this side of eternity, cured of their broken sexuality. Of course, Christ is enough. His word is sufficient. In other words, what I'm asking is, what is your biblical understanding of someone who struggles with same-sex attraction but is indwelled by the Holy Spirit? Obviously, a celibate lifestyle is the only answer, aside from maybe some type of orthodox Christian-oriented conversion therapy in hope of developing appropriate attraction to a spouse of the opposite sex. Should same-sex attracted persons seek a relationship with the opposite sex if they don't possess the gift of singleness? Okay, well, there's a lot to unpack there. That is a controversy in the church amongst conservative Bible-believing Christians who know that homosexuality is an unnatural and damning sin. The issue that becomes a controversy is to what degree a truly regenerate person will struggle with a same-sex attraction desire. Do you have your own thoughts on that, even though that's not the hallmark of your ministry? Do you have any comments that might be helpful to our listener on that?
Yes, Chris. I tell you, I really struggle with this whole notion of SSA, same-sex attracted but non-practicing Christian. There's a really good article. I don't have it pulled up right now, but it's by Owen Strachan, S-T-R-A-C-H-A.
Oh, yeah. I've interviewed Owen on the program.
Okay. Okay, great. So you're familiar with that. And he makes a very, very strong biblical case, and I agree with him, that 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 through 11, really puts the brakes on this idea of being a same-sex attracted but non-practicing Christian. Paul says, "Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God." And then Paul says this, he says, "Such were some of you." You were those things, you're not anymore. You have been saved, you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit of our God. The Greek in there, "such were some of you," makes a powerful, powerful case that not only have these people been saved from the practice of these things, they've been saved from the desire of these things. To be attracted to someone of the same gender in some kind of sexual way, that is an inherently sinful desire. It's not enough that you simply don't act on it. The desire itself is inherently sinful. It's not inherently sinful for a young Christian man to be attracted to a Christian woman. That's a natural desire, natural affection.
Even if he's attracted physically to a non-Christian woman, it's still natural. The question is, how does he respond to that attraction?
Yes. It's a perfectly natural, you know, men are attracted to women are attracted to men. You wouldn't be married, I wouldn't be married if we weren't attracted to women. You know, it's a natural desire, but it is unnatural. The to be attracted to someone of the same sex, that's an attraction that stems from the fall. Adam and Eve were attracted to one another before the fall. That's a natural attraction. To be attracted to someone of the same gender, that's a post-fall attraction. That is unnatural. And that's inherently sinful. And so I just don't believe that you can be a regenerate person in Christ. Old things passed away. All things are made new. And habitually struggle with that kind of same-sex attraction. Any hint of it must be put to death. Romans 8:13, put to death the deeds of the body. So I'm constrained by the text, Chris.
Yes. There is nothing in the Bible that speaks of regenerate people having this ongoing struggle. Now,
that's right.
I've heard people that would agree with us theologically on 99% of things who will say that we should not completely rule out in somebody's life that occasionally, if they had a previous experience before their salvation, if they were involved in that very unnatural and wicked behavior of homosexual activity, that occasionally even a regenerate person might have a flare-up of desire that they have to put to death in their hearts and minds. Do you think that that is possible? I mean, this is something that is totally foreign to me. Obviously, I struggle with sin every day, but not this sin. And the thing that makes it unique and different from, as we were saying, heterosexual lust is that a sexual attraction to the opposite gender is a gift from God, and if we abuse it and misuse it, we are sinning, but we can never say that about a homosexual attraction. It is never a God-given gift. It is something that should always be a red light, a red flag in someone's mind. This is unnatural. This is bizarre. This is damning and deadly.
That's right. Opposite sex attraction is a gift from God, and we channel that towards our spouse. There's nothing natural. There's no gift of God about a same-sex attraction. It's inherently sinful, inherently ungodly. There's no way to redeem that. I suppose, Chris, I could not rule out that if someone was saved out of that, that, you know, once in a blue moon, there might be, you know, you have some flashback to your days before Christ, and you might have a fleeting kind of thought towards that. I suppose I cannot rule that out, but it would certainly have to be mortified, and mortified very quickly. My wife Kathy and I have a good friend who named Frankie, and Frankie was saved out of lesbianism and about 2 or 3 years ago, and now she is just growing like a weed. I mean, just soaking up sound doctrine. And if you were to interview her on your program, she'd be the first to tell you, you cannot be a Christian and have those desires. She's been completely delivered from that. Now, that having been said, she's not going to go hang out in a gay bar either. You know, she's not going to put herself in that old environment.
Right. Even to evangelize, as some might use as an excuse to do something like that.
Right, even to evangelize. Yeah, I tell people, you don't have to go to a bar or a honky-tonk or whatever to find lost people. I mean, go to the grocery store if you want to evangelize someone, or, you know, just go to the post office, talk to someone on the street. You don't have to go to these places. So I'm very, very dubious of this whole notion of same-sex attracted believer, like Sam Alberry and that. If his life is marked by this, if he has this ongoing attraction to men, based on 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11, I've got to be very, very dubious about his regeneration. And I may get some hateful comments, whatever, pushback, but I'm constrained by Scripture. So I suppose I couldn't rule out an occasional flare up, but even if it does happen, you put it to death very quickly. You mortify it, and you go to the Word of God, and just put that to death. But that is certainly not something that should be an ongoing thing in the life of a believer.
Right. The thing, I mean, I heard just one lecture by Sam Olbery, and he said the right things through the majority of what he was saying, and I was like agreeing with him, but he seemed to be resigned to the fact that this was his lot in life, to be a same-sex attracted pastor and just to live celibate and to, you know, warn people about physically consummating these desires. But that seems to me a denial of the power of God. Like you're waving the white flag and you're saying, well, Satan's won with this issue in my life, so I'm just going to accept this and let and just try to be responsible with this. People might think this is an exaggerated comparison, but if somebody's on death row and they're regenerate, even though they have spent their life as a serial killer, would a reborn believer in Christ Jesus, so who is a new creation in Christ, would they continue to fantasize about murdering people? I mean,
exactly.
Or a child molester?
Right.
I just don't get that. And but anyway, it is an issue that I said in the beginning. There are brothers and sisters who agree with us on nearly everything who have disagreements over this issue. Not that they ever say it's okay to behave in that way, but they wonder about how much of those desires can remain in somebody who is reborn.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And there's no logical reason to not make that comparison. You show me someone who is, and this is something I agree with you, Chris, I can't relate to this on any level. And something else I can't relate to is people who find it's hard for me to even utter the words, much less relate to it. But people who find children attractive in that way, that is so foreign to me. And if you show me someone who has those thoughts, I'm going to show you a lost person.
Right.
And so it's an inherently sinful, disgusting desire. And it's the same way with being same-sex attracted. There's no logical difference to draw a line between one and the other. So, I just think you cannot make that case.
By the way, Ethan, send me your full mailing address in West Virginia because you, since you're a first-time questioner, you have won a free New American Standard Bible, compliments of the publishers of the NASB. And this is a reminder to me, actually, to urge you, once again, all of you listening, if you are a pastor or a deacon or even someone that if you're just an ordinary member of your church, please approach your deacons or your pastors or whoever is in charge of making Bible purchases for your church. Please consider the New American Standard Bible. Many of you are in churches where your pew Bibles are falling apart. They're filled with children's graffiti, or perhaps your leaders have outgrown the version that you're using. Perhaps you realize that you have a modern version that is not faithful to the original text, or perhaps you have King James Bibles, and as wonderful as that translation is, you want to use a translation that's easier to understand. Well, please consider the New American Standard Bible, and please consider replacing all of the pew Bibles in your church with this translation. That will help Iron Sharpens Iron Radio because they have been faithful sponsors. The publishers of the NASB have been faithful sponsors of ours ever since we launched in 2005. And even before that, in all the events that I have orchestrated, such as public theological debates and other things, they have sponsored them financially going all the way back to the early 1990s. So please go to nasbible.com and order your pew Bibles there. And if you don't have pew Bibles, start now at nasbible.com, nasbible.com. And please tell the folks at who published the New American Standard Bible that you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We have to go to our final break right now. And if you'd like to join us on the air, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. And as always, as I've been saying throughout the program, please always give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
I'm James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. The New American Standard Bible is perfect for daily reading or in-depth study. Used by pastors, scholars, and everyday readers, the NASB is widely embraced and trusted as a literal and readable Bible translation. The NASB offers clarity and readability while maintaining high accuracy to the original languages, which the NASB is known for. The NASB is available in many editions like a topical reference Bible. Researched and prepared by biblical scholars devoted to accuracy, the new topical reference Bible includes contemporary topics relevant to today's issues. From compact to giant print Bibles, find an NASB that fits your needs very affordably at nasbible.com. Whichever edition you choose, trust, discover, and enjoy the NASB for yourself today. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com.
To the church at Galatia, for am I now seeking the approval of man or of God, or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. Hi, I'm Mark Lukens, pastor of Providence Baptist Church. We are a Reformed Baptist church, and we hold to the London Baptist Confession of Faith of 1689. We are in Norfolk, Massachusetts. We strive to reflect Paul's mindset to be much more concerned with how God views what we say and what we do than how men view these things. That's not the best recipe for popularity, but since that wasn't the apostles' priority, it must not be ours either. We believe, by God's grace, that we are called to demonstrate love and compassion to our fellow man, and to be vessels of Christ's mercy to a lost and hurting community around us, and to build up the body of Christ in truth and love. If you live near Norfolk, Massachusetts, or plan to visit our area, please come and join us for worship and fellowship. You can call us at 508-528-5750, that's 508-528-5750, or go to our website to email us, listen to past sermons, worship songs, or watch our TV program entitled Resting in Grace. You can find us at providencebaptistchurchma.org, that's providencebaptistchurchma.org, or even on sermonaudio.com. Providence Baptist Church is delighted to sponsor Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Iron Sharpens Iron welcomes Solid Rock Remodeling to our family of sponsors. Serving South Central Pennsylvania, Solid Rock Remodeling is focused on discovering, understanding, and exceeding your expectations. They deliver personalized project solutions with exceptional results. Solid Rock Remodeling offers a full range of home renovations, including kitchen and bath remodeling, decks, porches, windows and doors, roof and siding, and more. For a clear, detailed professional estimate, call this trustworthy team of problem solvers who provide superior results that stand the test of time. Call Solid Rock Remodeling at 717-697-1981, 717-697-1981, or visit solidrockremodeling.com. That's solidrockremodeling.com. Solid Rock Remodeling, bringing new life to your home.
I'm Pastor Billy Linhart of Sovereign Grace Particular Baptist Church of San Angelo, Texas, and I'm thrilled to have joined the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio family of sponsors. We fully subscribe to the Second London Baptist Confession of Faith as a faithful summary of the most vital biblical truths, desire to worship the triune God of the Holy Scriptures in spirit and truth, and seek to make His glory known in the Concho Valley, West Texas, and beyond. Sovereign Grace PBC of San Angelo purposes to center our worship on the Holy Scriptures and the Gospel of Jesus Christ in the hope that He will grow us in love and the unity of truth. After Sunday services, join us for a fellowship meal, followed by our ladies' fellowship and our children's Sunday school class. If you're looking for a church in West Texas that's serious about the Word of God and worship that pleases Him, come visit us. For details about Sovereign Grace Particular Baptist Church of San Angelo, Texas, email sgbcsa@gmail.com or visit us at sgbcsa.com. That's sgbcsa.com.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
My name is Steve Lawson, founder and president of One Passion Ministries, as well as teaching fellow for Ligonier Ministries. I serve as professor of preaching and oversee the Doctor of Ministry program at the Master's Seminary in Los Angeles. I would like to recommend the church where one of my preaching students, Andy Woodard, serves as the pastor. It's called New Covenant Church, NYC. They are a Reformed Baptist church that meets in Midtown Manhattan. You can find their service times and location on their website, which is www.ncc.nyc. They believe in a sovereign God who commands all men everywhere to repent and believe the gospel. If you're looking for a church that believes in expository preaching, which is simply biblical preaching, in New York City, I'd like to recommend that you visit New Covenant Church NYC. Again, their information can be found at www.ncc.nyc. Have a great day.
Hello, my name is James Renahan, and I'm the president of IRBS Theological Seminary in Mansfield, Texas. The Word of God says, if a man desires the office of an overseer, he desires a good thing. Do you have the desire to serve Jesus Christ in pastoral ministry? 20 years ago, the Institute of Reformed Baptist Studies at Westminster Seminary, California was born. For those two decades, these institutions worked together to train men for ministry in Reformed Baptist churches. It has been a wonderful partnership. Now we have advanced our school into an independent seminary offering a full program of courses leading to the Master of Divinity degree. This is IRBS Theological Seminary. We believe that the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments are the inspired and inerrant Word of God, that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh who came to save sinners by his life, death, and resurrection, and that the task of the church is to honor and serve the triune God in all things. IRBS Theological Seminary is dedicated by God's grace to preparing godly ministers who will be committed to these doctrines. Do you sense a call to serve Jesus Christ and his church as a pastor? Why not consider IRBS Theological Seminary? You'll find more information at irbsseminary.org. That's irbsseminary.org. Two S's in the middle. I hope to hear from you soon. God bless you.
Listening to Christian radio can be a big gamble spiritually. Even many of the major Christian networks that include excellent, biblically faithful teachers on their lineup sadly often also include the worst of doctrinally dangerous heretics. If you are a lover of the doctrines of sovereign grace, you need not fear listening 24 hours a day to firstloveradio.org. They feature Christ-centered programming from Reformed pastors and teachers you can rely upon for theological soundness and biblical faithfulness, such as Dr. W. R. Downing, Dr. Peter Masters, Pastor Joe Jackowitz, Pastor Robert Gifford, Al Martin, Edward Delcor, and more. FirstLoveRadio.org also live streams my Iron Sharpens Iron radio program daily. Please stick around on FirstLoveRadio.org after Iron Sharpens Iron radio is over to continue being blessed by the unwavering proclamation of the gospel of sovereign grace. Spread the word about FirstLoveRadio.org.
Welcome back. This is the last few minutes of our show today. If you have a question, send it immediately or forever hold your peace because we're rapidly running out of time. And first of all, I want to thank Arnie from Perry County, Pennsylvania, who reminded me of the book that I highlighted on an interview on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, A New Apostolic Reformation, A Biblical Response to a Worldwide Movement by Doug Guyvett and Holly Pivick. And that was featured on our December 8th, 2017 episode of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Thank you, Arnie from Perry County, for bringing that to my attention and memory. You know, our last question about people struggling with same-sex attraction actually lends itself to the theme in general of suffering in this way, that there are many people, as you can imagine, Justin, who are suffering because they have a painful desire for someone to love in their lives, and for some providential reason they can't find that person. Perhaps it could be through a disability, and you, in spite of a disability, God granted you a precious gift in having a spouse, but there are others that may never have a spouse because of a disability, or it might be many other reasons. It might be that their pastors have counseled them not to remarry because they have been married and divorced multiple times. Who knows what the reason is? But can you give a word of encouragement and comfort to those who are battling depression because they just don't think that they are going to have a person? And of course, the only biblical way that they could have a person in a romantic sense, in an intimate sense, is a person of the opposite gender than themselves. But for those folks who feel that they are just crushed inside because they are fairly certain that they will remain on earth for the rest of their days without a significant other, what can you say to those folks?
Sure, Chris, and I know that's a struggle, and I know it from firsthand experience. I was 37 years old before I was married, and so, you know, I went through life for a long, long time as an adult, single, and I know it hurts. I know it can be very lonely, and with that loneliness comes opportunities for Satan to tempt you and to divert your attention away from Christ. So a couple things. Never give up. If you have a desire for a spouse, make it a matter of prayer. And you never know when the right person will show up. You never know when in God's providence he will bring you someone. And I had just about given up, and my desire to be married just about given up, and then just quite on a whim. I mean, long story short, I'm from Mississippi. My wife is from Montana. We met in California, and just a very providential thing. And but that was God's right timing, and he brought the right person to me. So never give up. You never know when God will bring that right person to you. Until that time comes, don't settle. You know, don't settle for second best. Don't just settle to be with someone that you know is not right for you just because you're lonely. That's always a recipe for disaster. So hold off and wait for someone that you know is walking with the Lord and a strong believer. Anything less will end up in a disaster. And until that time does come, then surround yourself, number one, with the study of God's Word. Number two, with the fellowship of the saints. Having fellowship with like-minded believers is of paramount importance for all of us, single and married. But especially if you're single, you don't want to be alone. You want to be with like-minded believers that will encourage you. And it's not the same thing as having a spouse. I'm not at all saying that. I'm not saying that that will take away the loneliness. But a lonely Christian is, should be an oxymoron, at least at some level. You need to have the fellowship of the saints, be in a good church, people that will encourage you, will support you, will pray for you, and in that local body, you can grow in Christ. And as you grow in Christ, you will be more content. And as you grow in your knowledge of God, you'll be better equipped to rest in his providence and rest in his timing until someone does come for you.
Amen. And as my pastor said to me many years ago when I was a young, new Christian in my mid-20s, he said, always remember, it is far better to be single and want to be married than to be married and want to be single.
True that.
And I want to remind our listeners that the conference being held this Friday and Saturday, March 15th and 16th in Freehold, New Jersey, where our guest Justin Peters is featured on the roster. You can find out more details at strivingforeternity.org, strivingforeternity.org. And, of course, Justin Peters' ministry can be found at justinpeters.org, justinpeters.org. Thank you so much, Justin, for being our guest today. I want to thank everybody who listened and wrote in questions. I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.